scripture reading be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If we hold in readiness, Romans chapter 6.
The passage just read, 2 Corinthians 5:17, says if a person is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. When we think about who Christians are, this verse provides us with another illustration. Christians are people who have brand new lives. This new life is explained in the passage Terry asked us to hold in readiness, today's text, Romans 6. I want to break this chapter into sections. We will start with the state of someone prior to becoming a Christian. If you found Romans 6, let's begin with what Paul says in verse 2. God forbid. We who die to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? I've heard at different times people raise the question, is it possible for someone to live in sin? I've heard people say that's not possible. This question is answered in this verse. Paul says we can live in sin. Not only is it possible to live in sin, Paul says prior to the time of our conversion, each single person who is accountable is living in sin. Before someone becomes a Christian, he or she is existing in a state of sin. Generally, when this expression is used in society, is it possible to live in sin? People are applying it to a specific situation. But in Romans 6:2, Paul presents the matter in a very general way. He says every single person who is accountable for their actions is in sin. Now, this is not what everyone believes, but this is what he said. It is common in our day and time for people to look at perhaps the standard of the world, view their life in comparison to that, and say, I am a good person compared to others. Even by the standard given in the New Testament, we find sometimes that people live a well-moral life. They may live in many ways which is similar to Christianity. But Romans 6:2 says that if we are not a Christian, prior to the time of our conversion, no matter how good our life is, no matter how many good works we have done, we are still living in a state of sin. Someone says, well, you know, how deep is this sin? How bad is the problem? Paul explains in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Some of us who are here have probably played the hokey pokey. I've not done that recently, but as I was preparing this lesson, I thought about years gone by, and I used to do that. Some of us have probably done it on roller skates. I remember enough of the song to recall that as we have some people lined up together, we put the right hand in and we put the right hand out. And then there's another body part that goes in and comes out. God says that prior to becoming a Christian, we were living in sin. And my question is, how much of our body was involved with sin? It was not like the hokey pokey. There was a part in and there was a part out. But in Romans 6:6, Paul says our body, that is our entire being, our whole life was completely saturated with sin. Paul says we had a body of sin. It was not limited to our eyes, ears, or nose. It was not something that affected our arms and feet. But Paul in Romans 6 says that prior to the time of someone being converted to Jesus Christ, the entire being is saturated with sin. The problem is so bad in Romans 6:6, Paul says a person is in bondage to sin. The power of sin is also described in the 12th verse, the end of the verse of Romans 6, that ye should obey the lusts thereof. Paul says prior to the time of conversion, a person is so overwhelmed with sin, he or she is involved with the lusts, the strong desires. Sin's temptations lead accountable people to becoming, if we look at the first part of verse 13, instruments of unrighteousness. This all sounds very serious, and God says this is the right conclusion. In Romans 6, Paul says sin is like a terrible disease. It affects our entire being. And the consequences of it are especially awful, so we must be concerned. Does the text tell us about the result of having a body which is filled with sin? Is Paul specific? What are the consequences for sin? In Romans 6, verse 23, at the end of the chapter, Paul says to the people who had formerly been sunk in sin, he says, sin entitles people to a wage. Sin delivers a spiritual paycheck. He said, for the wages or the payment of sin is death. Why does sin result in spiritual death? Well, backing up a few verses in Romans 6, verse 20, Paul provided the answer. He said, when we were servants of sin, or when ye were servants of sin, rather, ye were free in regard to righteousness. This verse has been misused by a lot of people. But if it's kept in the context of Romans 6, it's not hard to explain. You see, there are two paths in life. There is the path of right, the path of God, the path that leads to heaven. And there is the second path of unrighteousness, the path of sin, the path that leads to Satan. In verse 20, Paul had in mind the path which leads to sin and death. He says, when someone is living in this way, they are free in regard to righteousness. That is, they're not living in the way that God has described. They're not following the right way. A person on this course has shrugged off any desire to follow God and do His will. This way of life, Paul says in 21a, at a later time, causes some people to become ashamed. Yet there are many who pursue this course. They don't want to be associated with God. They do not want to be involved with His will. So they go down this other road where they're free, where they are completely uninterested in God and His ways. If we have not become a Christian in the way the New Testament describes, there is a spiritual paycheck with our name on it, which reads spiritual death. Romans 6, verse 23. The people in this chapter had had some contact with Paul. They were told about these facts, and they didn't want to receive that pay. So they decided that they would take the other option. They wanted to become, as we heard from the scripture reading, 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature in Christ. In this chapter, Paul says they were successful. They were able to get rid of that old paycheck, and they were able to get a new one, which was desirable. Since these people received help, we can look at what they did. And when we follow the same procedure, we can know beyond any doubt that we too have been freed from the check described in Romans 6:23 and have the blessings described in this chapter. Someone says, well, how do we get what these people got? Well, the answer begins in Romans 6, verse 2. Paul says, God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Those who were living in sin died to sin. The body which had sunk into the pit of sin was removed from the slime pit. And as I read this question, I'm inclined to ask some questions. How did this occur? If these people had a body which was buried in sin, how did they get out? Furthermore, a question that comes to my mind is, if they were so overwhelmed, if they were so saturated, so filled with sin, when they were removed from this pit, how clean were they? In other words, if these people were spiritually filthy, how complete was the change they underwent? How fully was the cleaning process? Well, we need to turn our attention to the information at the end of verse 4. Paul talked about the newness of life. When he speaks about the cleansing these people experienced, he doesn't mean that they were rinsed off or they were wiped off. But he's talking about a new way of life. He means whatever their sins were, they were completely forgiven from them. The people were so fully altered, they had a brand new life. Just like Paul described in 2 Corinthians 5:17. This life was new for several reasons. In addition to being freed from sin, there is the benefit described in verse 5. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Paul says that these people, once they were freed from their sins, they were also united with Christ. It was not that they became in close proximity to Jesus. They were not brought near the Lord. But Paul says their process actually joined them together with Jesus Christ. In other passages, for example, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22 and 23, the Bible says Jesus is the head of the church, the head of the body, and these people, since they were brought into the body of Christ, they were actually united. They were joined with Jesus, and the horrible problem of sin was cut away and buried. Paul also in Romans 6, verse 6, the end of the verse 6b says the bondage to sin was ended. In verse 8, he says that these people, as well as all others, are able to live with the Lord, and this is for eternity. Romans 6, verse 22. This is all good news. But we still have not answered the question, how did this process occur for the people who received this letter? Well, again, let's go back to verse 2, because this describes how the process started. God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? The recipients of this letter had died to sin. They learned about God. They wanted to do what was right. In other parts of the Bible, this is described as repentance. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus spoke about being born of the Spirit. That is, we need to learn about God's will. We need to find out His plan for a life, and there needs to be a commitment on our part to do that plan. We turn from the life of sin to the will and the role that heaven has for us. Belief and a desire to do what is right are essential. Yet, we find these two elements alone do not result in salvation. Paul said something else is necessary. There needs to be this turning from sin. There needs to be this dying from sin, repentance. But notice verses 3 and 4 of Romans 6 as well. Or are ye ignorant? Don't you know, don't you remember that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. The New Testament says that salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. In other words, if we want to be saved, if we want to be with God and go to heaven, we must be in the Lord. How does a person get into Christ, where salvation is? 2 Timothy 2:10. The answer is found in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says we are baptized into him. Jesus further commented on this in John 3, verse 5. He said we must be born of spirit. That is, we learn God's will. We want to do what's right. And then he said we must also be born of water. This is precisely what the people in Romans 6 did. Jesus, you may remember in the book of Mark, at the end of the book, said in Mark 16:16, he that believes, and these people did. Jesus did not specifically mention repentance, but it is part of the process. Romans 6:2, we need to die to sin, turn our back on that. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. This was also the same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Repent, the same command that we have in Romans 6:2, and be baptized. How come? For the forgiveness of sins, or for the newness of life, Romans 6, verse 4. When someone believes and repents, they are not saved. Baptism is also required. When we ask who a Christian is, Romans 6 provides us with several answers. A Christian is someone who in the past had a life of sin which was so saturated with this problem, the Bible says it was a body of sin. Prior to conversion, even the best person, Paul says in Romans 6, was living in sin. A Christian is someone who has exchanged his or her life for something that is brand new. This exchange occurs by the process given in the New Testament, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And once a person experiences these changes, other things are true of them. Again, drawing from Romans 6, the verse, what shall we say then? What's the conclusion? Shall we continue in sin the way that we left, that grace may abound? Oh, God forbid, may it never be. When we think about who a Christian is, Romans 6:1 tells us that a Christian is not perfect. A Christian still stumbles from time to time, but sin is no longer a way of life. A Christian sees sin as something as he or she wants to avoid because this decision leads to eternity with Christ, verse 8. A Christian is someone who sees life as existence unto God, a life which is dedicated to God, Romans 6, verse 13. A Christian is someone who obeys from the heart, Romans 6, verse 17. Have you ever met a Christian? I've met a few who have said, well, you know, if you believe that's something that I need to do, you know, you show me where the thou shalt is, and I'll do it. Well, sometimes items in the New Testament are taught by principle. They may not be specifically commanded when we deal with issues, especially moral issues. And that should not be a problem. Because instead of dealing with an actual law sometimes about something, the Bible says we obey from the heart. We want to live a life which is pleasing to God. There's been a heart change if we were a Christian. Instead of saying, my will, our motto now is, thy will be done. A Christian has a brand new life in the world. And in the next life, Romans 6 promises a very pleasant existence as well. Being a Christian is the most important decision anyone will ever make. And this morning, as we gather here, about 100 folks are present, by my guess, we ask this question, is there anyone in this assembly who is not a Christian? You may be so close to the kingdom of God. You may live in a way which is quite similar to the way described in the New Testament. But being close to the kingdom and being in the kingdom are two very different things. The Bible says, again, 2 Timothy 2:10, salvation is only in Christ. How do we get into Christ? Romans 6, 3 and 4 says that we are baptized into him. This morning you can do what the people did 2,000 years ago. And when you follow the steps described in Romans 6, you can know beyond any doubt that you have obeyed God's plan in the way that he has described. You are a Christian. You have the brand new life in Christ. You're headed to a great place. And the old life has been buried. Every single wrong has been cleansed from your record by God. That is good news. And that is one more description of a Christian. If this description is not one that describes you, do you not want it to apply to your life? It can. This morning, the water is ready. We can baptize you into Christ just as the New Testament describes and help you in that way. If you're someone who did become in the past a new creature in Christ, but you've gone back to the old ways, Paul says in Romans 6, that's not right and that's not good, that's not God's will. And you can be restored. For the Christian, God has a plan as well. We believe that you know what that is. And if there is a way that we can help you this morning as a Christian, or if you need to become a Christian, we invite you to make that important decision right now as we stand and sing the selected song.